We teach best what we most desire to do. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. We teach best what we most desire to do. Have you ever thought of the things that you tell other people to do? Have you ever thought of things that you teach your children to do or you teach your spouse to do? Have you ever thought of things that you teach the people that you live with to do? Have you ever thought of things that you'd like everybody around you to do? Well, those very things that we desire most in others are what we need most in ourselves. What we desire most in others is what we most need in ourselves from our own point of view. Now, we look at our children and we tell them, put away your clothes. We look at our children and we tell them, keep a neat room. Cleanliness is next to godliness. We tell our children, be orderly in all things that you do. Be honest at all times. Live your life as though every day is the most important day of your life and that all the world is looking in on you and saying, what a wonderful person you are. And they have every reason to say that. It's not just a matter that we want them to say that. They have every reason to say that. Now, people have the idea that they should think in the future. They should think in the tomorrow because today is not the evidence of what they'd like to see. Today is not the experience of what they'd like to see. They think that they should not say, I am whole and perfect, because they are not whole and perfect. I am not wealthy. I am wealthy because they are not wealthy. I am surrounded by friends because they are not surrounded by friends. You see, we think that we should not make these positive statements because making these positive statements is not correct. We are lying to ourselves. Well, we can all think that we're lying to ourselves, but if we live in the now, if we live with our thoughts in the present moment, if we live in the ideal that we are, then we are those things that we think about. I've mentioned this before. I've had many of my students who had trouble with other people, primarily with their parents, but they had trouble with other people. And these other people were not as wonderful as they could be. They were not the ideal father, the ideal mother, the ideal brothers and sisters, the ideal friends. They were not the ideal teachers. They were not the ideal beings in their life. And so we would like to teach them how to be ideal. Oh, would we like to teach them how to be ideal? So I tell them, the simple way to go about doing this is to take a pad of paper, and I say a notebook or a pad or a number of sheets of paper, and begin to write down, thinking about this person or yourself or whatever, and what you would think the ideal person would do being that person, being your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncles, your friends, your teachers, your associates at work, people that you enjoy as friends. Now, what would you do and how would you see them as the ideal friend? Now, if you look at someone and you say, well, now just look at them. They're not doing this right and they're not doing that right. Well, that may be the appearance. Now change that. Look at the person and say, they always do something nice. Well, now, you're going to start looking for something nice in that person, and you're going to start looking for something that that person does nice, and you're going to start seeing it because you're looking for it. If you're looking for things the person doesn't do nice, you could find that too. But you're looking for things that the person does do nice. Now, it's true the person does do some not nice things. But the person also does many nice things. Now, count your blessings. We've heard that. Okay. Now, we teach best what we most need to do. So, as we look at our friend, and we begin to look for their good aspects, look for the beauty in them, look for the delight in them, we find maybe a little bit here and a little bit there, maybe not as much as we'd like to find, but we do find some. And so as we concentrate on the some that we do find, we empower it to grow. And many people who have done this little experiment that I've asked them to do with all their heart, sincerely, they have found that the people in their world had a lot of good in them. That the people in their world were pretty wonderful. The people in their world were rather exquisite. The people in their world were delightful people. And they began finding out that those people did nice things for a lot of people. They were happy people. They were joyous people. They were good family members in their own families. They were good people to their community. They were good people. They did things that they never told people about. They didn't go around telling people how they went over to the library to read to the children in the afternoon. They didn't tell how they would go to the schools and they would offer their help and their expertise as being a genius on the piano or the genius on whatever area they liked. They didn't say how they sat in the park and how they talked with people that came to sit in the park. And the people were just drawn to them for some reason or other. And the people would bring up their problems and they would say, have you thought about looking at the good factors about these people? Have you thought about looking at the nice things about these people? Have they no value at all for being human, to being alive at all? And so you talk with these people in the park. And as you talk with these people, you don't know them. You may never see them again. But this is how you are. This is how that person is. And you don't even know that. Is that person nice to his mother? Is that person nice to his father, his sisters and brothers? Is that person nice in every area, at their employment? Does that person make everyone feel just a little happier? Does that person always have a nice thing to say about somebody who may be down, who may be sick, who may be ill in their attitude about themselves? Has that person something nice? Well, you don't find people like that. They just don't exist. Well, do they or don't they? Think about it. Have you ever taken the time to look? Have you ever taken the time to see if other people have good values to them, have wonderful things? Why do you think you had this person as a friend in the first place? Because they had ideas and they had dreams and goals and they had choices much like yours. Why is it that you turned out to be such a wonderful person? Because your mom and dad taught you values. Because your mom and dad lived values in the home. Because your sisters and brothers are good people. Because the people that you work with on your job, the ones that you associate with, the ones that you may not even be in their department, but the ones you associate with are wonderful, loving people. Are people who would rather do something nice for somebody else than have somebody else do something nice for them. They're just always being good people. Yes, we teach best what we most need to learn to do. And as we begin to look at life and look at other people and look at the world, and as we begin to do this, we begin to see the world is a pretty wonderful place, and we are pretty wonderful. And so, instead of going around teaching these things, we take our pad of paper for each person involved, including ourselves. You might think that might be a good starting place, and it is. Take your pad of paper and start saying, what good thing did I do today and I didn't let anybody know that I did it? What good attitude of mind did I have today that I didn't think about? What nice thought or nice word did I say to another person or think about another person? What nice idea did I have in my mind about them? Did I say, gee, that was nice, or what a thoughtful person, or how lovely, or my goodness, that's going to make somebody very happy? Now, the more of these type of thoughts that I can think, the more my life is going to be filled with that kind of a relationship to all people, not just to me and my friends and people that I know and am associated with, but to all people. That's why we can say, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me, because in my thinking, I have become peaceful. In my thinking, I am a living example of gentleness, kindness, thoughtfulness. I am the living example of what I conceive peace to be. And I exude this, I spread this example, I live this example in all that I do. I first start living it by counting my blessings about me and think of the wonderful things that I do and why do I do these things? Because it's my nature. It's how I've been brought up by my parents and my family and I've been brought up by my world and how I express that outwardly in my world. I'm always going the second mile. I'm always giving rather than expecting to receive. I'm always loving. If there's a pet around, I just fold up in snugglehood. I just feel so good. If there's a kitten around, I just have to stop and watch. If there's a puppy rolling in the grass, I just have to look and say, hi there, guy. If I see children at play, I just know that they're beautiful, glorious beings. Whatever I see in life, I know that it is an expression of the love, the unconditional love, in me, and for all the world. We teach best what we most need to do. And so whenever I think someone should learn a lesson, or someone should be kinder, or someone should be more thoughtful, someone should be more interesting, someone should be nicer, then I start to think, am I being kind, thoughtful, nice? Am I being loving? Am I being a wonderful, fantastic being? Am I being that which I would have others be? Well, I begin to look at myself and I find indeed I am, truly I am, that nice person that I would like other people to be. And then as I look at other people, I say, well, you know, they really are too. They really are gentle, loving, forgiving, kind, beautiful people. They really are. I missed the seeing that because I was so interested in seeing how not nice they were. I was so aware of how unkind they were. I was so aware, and that was merely because of my own unhappiness, my own feeling of something's not right in Denmark. And when I thought that, I thought, my goodness sakes, why is that so? When I begin thinking about my mother, and I think, did she raise me well? Was she a loving mother? Was she a kind lady? Was she a person who was just the ideal mother? And so then I say, well, The only way to find out if my mother is the ideal mother is to take my pad of paper and start writing down, what is the ideal mother? What is the ideal mother without any other thought, without any other reference? Just what is the ideal mother? The ideal mother is one who always is there for me. The ideal mother is one who wants the best for me. The ideal mother is one who trains me so that when I go out into society, I will be a delightful, wonderful person to be with. People want me in their company. Is my wonderful mother, do I have the ideal mother? Or is the ideal mother, what does the ideal mother do? And you see, as I make all these statements of what an ideal mother does, I begin to realize, hey, that's who my mom is. That's what my mom did. My mom gave me all these values. My mom gave me all this insight into myself and into the world as a happy, joyful, wonderful place. And the joy and happiness, she didn't say, it starts with you. She just had it start from her. And rather than have me give her a gift, she wanted me to give my brothers or sisters or my dad or somebody else a gift. This openness, this givingness, this sharingness, this feeling that let bless the world. Take all that you have and give it to the world, and you don't need anything. Everything that you could ever want will be yours, but you don't need anything. You don't need to claim anything. Just give, give, give. And as you give, you will feel so wonderful, so fulfilled, so beautiful. That's my mom. She taught me those things. And what did my dad teach me? Well, he taught me a lot of things. He taught me a lot of things that I never realized he taught me. I used to hang out with my dad. Hang out with my dad, yes. I would go to work with him on a Saturday or on a day that I didn't have to be in school. And I'd ride with him in his car. And I couldn't do things on his job, but what I could do, I could polish his car within an inch of its life. I could clean out the inside of his car. I could dust the inside. Because he worked in construction, and he was the boss, and he had to work as well as get in a dusty environment. He'd come in his car with all the dusty clothes, and the car would be all full of dust, and so I would take a brush and clean it out. I did this many Saturdays. Now, is that a nice thing to do? I just wanted to be with my dad. There are five of us kids, and we all wanted to make a claim on Pop, but we didn't have a chance to do that because he was a busy guy. He was a very busy and a very wonderful guy. And so, one day I was polishing his car, and I was using this polish that you put on there, and it dries. And then when it's dry, then you rub it off, and that wax waxes the car and beautiful. And I was halfway done as we were going from job to job that he was directing. And people on the job says, what's going on with your car there, Herb? And that's my dad's name too, Herb. And he says, well, my son is out there, and he's polishing my car. And my son is taking care of my car and making it all beautiful, and he just had to be along with him. You know how kids are, they have to be with their dads, you know. And his friends would say to him and his associates, my God, you're a wonderful guy, Herb. You're wonderful to take the time to let your son come along with you and ride with you in the car as you go between your different jobs and do different things and just be content just to be with you. Oh, what a blessing you have, Herb. And I thought to myself as I heard them say these things to him, what a blessing I have. What a blessing that my dad let me come with him, that he let me see how he lives his life and how his men, how his employees are respectful and how they honor him. And how they follow what he says. The first time he says it, he doesn't have to repeat it. He doesn't have to say please. He just says, now let's do it this way, and let's do it that way, and this is the way it should be done. And he gave them loving advice as he gave his own children, as he gave his own family. And he was a living example of it. There was nothing that he asked of his employees that he wouldn't do himself, even though they were dressed in their work clothes and he was in his suit, because he had to talk with customers and he had to talk with people who were having him build their homes and design their houses and put in their swimming pools and do all these things. And I worked with my dad. And the thing I learned most about my dad was absolute respect and honor for him, just as his men had, just as the people, he would go and build their house, and this was during Depression years, and as he did that, he would say to them, well, now this is what it's going to cost. No architect or anything else involved. This is what it's going to cost for the lumber and so forth, and this is the markup, and this is what we do here, and so this is what your place is going to cost. And they would say, Herb, I have absolute confidence in you. You go out and you buy those materials on my account and you do these things and we'll put these things together and I believe in you. And they stuck out his hand and shook hands, and on a handshake they built homes, factories, businesses all over Milwaukee. I learned about my dad by seeing how he acted to others and to me. Sometimes he expected the best out of me. He expected me to be honest. He expected me to be truthful. He expected me to be one whose word was his bond, as his was. And as I worked with my dad, as I saw my dad, how he did these things, I realized of all the fathers on earth, I had the best. Now, maybe all the other dads do the same thing, but I don't know that. But I do know my dad. I do know my friends, because I take my pad of paper and I write down all of the things that I think an ideal father is. And my father was right up there near the top. So near the top that I was honored to have him be my dad. My role model for me to be the father of my son and my role model. Yes, the things we need to learn are the things that we need to do. We live what we are and who we are and what we believe. We live the values, the virtues. We live the essence of life that we know is ours. And as we do that, we find it's a value. Now, as I watched my dad and as I followed him and admired and respected him, I didn't realize what was happening most of the time, but in hindsight, I realized how he deftly handled each circumstance that he handled, and how the respect he gained was not because he was so absolutely brilliant, but because he was so absolutely honest with himself. He didn't know everything, but he knew how to be a good people. He knew how to be a good neighbor, to be a good father, to be a good friend. And these made him the ideal businessman, the ideal father, the ideal being in all the world. This is who we are. This is what we are, if we want to be. We teach best what we most need to do. If you would like to be whole and perfect, write down all the things about your body that are wonderful and good right now. Write down all of the things that are fantastic in your life right now, as your body and your being and your association with other people who have good bodies. If you would like to have good relationships in your world, begin to tally up all of the relationships that you're having, all of the people that you're with, and what kind of a person are you with? Are you the kind of person are they the kind of person that you'd like to bring home to your mother, that you'd like to introduce to your family? Would you like your family to know the people you're associating with? And if you are, you can be sure that you're the kind of person that they would like to take home to their family. We have these values, we have these virtues, we have these ideals about ourselves. But until we start writing them down, until we start making a list, and realizing just how wonderful we already are. We'll never realize how wonderful we are, and we may call it tomorrow, but it's today, because they're in our thought today, they're in our ideal today, they're in who we are today. Claim this for yourself, know this for yourself, and live this in your life as I do. And I tell you, I am the happiest guy in the universe. I love you. I love you. I love you.